The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the social studio.
Welcome to the show. Don't forget you can contact us via social media, which is apparently all the rage these days. So do join our Facebook page and like us, or go to our website at www.whocares.co.uk and post a comment, and check out our playlists on Spotify, tweet us at FFSShutUp, and use the hashtag IsThisEverGoingToEnd. Yes, we've got social media on our minds this week at the Radio Today programme. BBC Radio 4 and BBC 6 Music have announced that they're going to get the independent production company Something Else to help out with their social media. And in a very impressive blog, the BBC Audio and Music, or Radio and Music, as we must learn to call them again, head of social media, who is Jem Stone, has detailed the story of radio and social media. And he's on the line now. Jem, I've called you head. I think you're actually technically editor. Do we understand how best to deal with social media on the air?
Well, hopefully not like that, as you've just illustrated. It can sound awfully desperate and pleading, can't it, Trevor?
Indeed.
But I think the other thing is that, and I hope that my blog post sort of illustrated, which was started in 1994, around the time that BBC Comma Online started, is that radio producers and radio networks have been doing this for an awful long time now. And, you know, and lots of stations have become fantastically good at this. But Facebook is 10 years old now. Twitter is 8 years old. Yet still the grammar and the understanding of how to talk about our activity on these platforms can come across as quite clumsy and can come across as quite alienating to a lot of our listeners, I think.
Do you think that's because we, as radio producers and presenters, actually still think we're doing the same job we always did, and this is something that's grafted on, whereas actually we should be thinking in terms of broadcasting on social media and broadcasting on the radio waves being simply two sides of the same thing?
I think it depends on what we're talking about. If we're talking about how do we incorporate what people are saying and doing and sharing online into our radio shows, then actually it's that you know, there's a few things to think about. One is that the source or the provenance of where that material comes from doesn't matter so much to our audience as we probably think it does. You know, and we quite often use brand names, and we quite often say that, you know, this was tweeted or this came from X or Y, where it doesn't actually matter. All we're really interested in is that an artist or a famous person or an MP has said something. Other things to think about, you know, we're potentially, we're not really thinking about the audience as much as we should, is that for us as radio producers and journalists, then clearly Twitter is an incredible tool and a fantastic tool and an essential tool to any radio producers. But for our audience, it's still 10, 15 million users in the UK. Many of those in our audience, even if they've joined up to Twitter, will never have tweeted. And we sometimes forget, you know, the reach of the platforms that we're talking about is in all sorts of ways a lot smaller than our radio stations themselves.
So if somebody contacts us via Twitter and we're on the air, should we say, I've just had a tweet from so-and-so, or should we just say, so-and-so's been in touch to say?
I'm more to the latter, unless it's absolutely remarkable that, you know, that the fact that they've actually used that particular platform. You know, we're more interested in what they've actually got to say. If you listen to Five Live these days, is that they quite often talk about that X or Y has said this or said that on social media rather than necessarily the platform.
Do we even have to use that rather ugly construction, social media? Can't we just say said? I mean, I don't think if we were reading a letter, we'd say, and it's written on blue, Basildon Bond Vellum.
Well, then I think that the other thing to think about as well is that we also want to make sure that, you know, we don't come across as Blue Peter in the 70s and sticky back plastic and so on, is that we want to remain and sound modern to our listeners. And that quite often does mean using the phrase tweeted and so on. But, you know, there's certainly a balance to be struck. And perhaps, you know, across all of radio at the moment, perhaps this, you know, the mentions of some of these brand names is far too more than it needs to be.
Do you think that it's important to have a different social media strategy depending on the age range of your target listener. It sounds so obvious, doesn't it? But sometimes I feel that Radio 4 sounds a bit too old because it's sort of saying, and you'll never guess, there's this marvellous thing out there called a mobile phone. You know, they almost, in trying to keep my mum happy, end up sounding too old. You know, how do we pitch that, do you think?
I don't think you need a separate social media strategy to sound like the language of your listener. I think that that depends on how you're describing anything. I think it's more, quite clearly it comes across, and you might notice it more when talking about technology or when talking about new things. But the idea that you talk in the language of your listener and you keep a very close eye on what they're saying, the language that they use, the grammar that they use, you know, whether that's for, you know, 16 for 25s for Radio 1 or for the different audience for Radio 4, I don't think you'd necessarily say you'd have to treat social media any different. I think it's relevant however you're talking about any subject.
Do you think that a radio show, whether it's, you know, a complicated journalistic live programme like the Today programme or it's a, you know, middle-of-the-night music show, does it need a separate person to be its social media producer or editor? Or is social media simply now a component of what the radio producer and presenter should be doing?
I think when we talk about doing social media or when we talk about social media, quite often the discussion, and you just sort of mentioned that really in your question, just focuses on one thing, which is who is going to type the thing in the box? Who is going to share the photo on the account? And that is important, but there are so many other things that when I talk to radio producers that I think that we need to think about first. I mean, the number one thing, and this harks back to the question about language, is that absolutely we need the skills and the tools. And there's some great free tools out there and there's some great ways of picking up the skills to understand the ways of how to listen to what our audience are doing and saying, what people are talking about, current news stories, whether artists have said something interesting, whether MPs have said something interesting, making sense to you as radio producers of all of that conversation online and where to look. That is far more important than necessarily focusing an awful lot on can we be a catalyst for getting people to say stuff by writing in a box. Obviously, we want to, you know, at least have a strategy in place to make sure that our content can be shared. There again is that, do you necessarily need to focus on your main radio station accounts to do that? You do to a certain extent, but that's far more important is to make sure that are you making the content, is it short enough, is it relevant enough, is it quick enough as well, so that people will want to share it themselves? Is it optimised enough so that when it appears on Twitter and Facebook that it appears and it just plays, or you just see the image, or it's in the right dimensions? And then and only then can you finally get to the issues around, okay, well, then if you are running an account for your program or for your radio station, what should it say and who should say and who should be authoring it, which is obviously really, really important. But that's down to that's more about the strategy and what you're trying to achieve as a station. And then and only then can you start to think about, well, okay, then who should do it? Should it be a single person? What sort of skills should they have and so on?
Jem, who's good at it? I mean, I don't want you to do a lot of comparisons, but just pick out a couple of BBC programmes or DJs or whatever that just immediately leap into your mind as being good examples of good practice in social media and radio.
As a presenter, I think, I mean, there's all sorts of presenters I could choose, Trevor, and I don't want to embarrass them, but I really, really enjoy it. But also, I think in terms of how he actually listens to what people are talking about online and then actually sort of presents that back to the user is that I'd say follow Jeremy Vine, if you could. There's a regular stream of interesting, quite witty material. He shares, you know, photos that people are talking about. He doesn't shy away from talking about subjects that he's really, really quite passionate about.
There's quite a load of shots from his head cam on his bicycle.
Well, I think that what you want when you follow a presenter is that not only do you want them obviously talking about their on-air work, but you really want to sort of tap into their passions. The sort of dreadful football team that he supports But also is that cycling and cycling safety is a real passion for Jeremy at the moment. And he can talk about it and do interesting things using the medium. That's what you really, really want from a presenter.
And what I about think in a programme that works particularly well for you?
I mean, I'm not going to mention a BBC one, but I just want to draw attention to, because I think that they do a fantastic job. It's the national sort of global family of accounts, a very efficient and creative team and small team for the work that they do, you know, just on a daily basis for Capital and for Capital Extra is really creative. But they did a really great job around the Clegg and Farage debate that LBC did. So the work of Global across their family of accounts is really great. And their counterpart, Charles, who does a similar job to me, does a really great job.
So your blog, do you use gemstone.wordpress.com as the address we give out?
Sorry, I'll be finished the interview, yes?
No, we're still going, actually.
Yes, sorry, it's gemstone.wordpress.com, yes.
Okay, and it's called Made of Stone, the personal blog of Gemstone, and on there you'll find a quick history of the BBC and social media, originally written a few years ago, but recently updated, and fascinating it is too. I said to you before we started that it's amazing how this has all crept up on us, and you said, actually, that is silly because it's two decades. Shape up. But I still think that we are trying to deal with kind of screwing this new thing onto what we do rather than considering the extent to which it's actually changed the way that we do everything.
But there's all sorts of analogies about, you know, the speed of technology and how it changes. I mean, I like to think of it as we're dreadfully scared and worried about the threat of a snail overtaking us, because that's really what it is. It's the snail. The skills to be able to listen to feedback from listeners is something that radio producers know about for not for two decades, but three and four and five decades. That live interaction with listeners, we've got the skills to be able to do that. We've been doing, you know, phone-ins for 40, 45 years. So, of course, the fact that it's so quick, the fact that it's so public, the fact that it's so prone to risk means that we have to learn new skills, and it's, you know, and it has transformed all sorts of completely transformed media. But we shouldn't necessarily think it's something that just happened on Monday or just happened last year. We've got plenty of time to be able to adapt, and many of our radio stations and presenters and programs have adapted fantastically well.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Thank you very much indeed, Jem. Jem Stone is the editor of social media for BBC Radio's bouquet of services. It's the Radio Today programme. David Lloyd and some radio moments to come. And also after this, Roy Martin with this week's news.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Thank you, Trevor. Something else has won a contract to post engaging content on social media for BBC Radio 4 and 6 Music. The company, which looked after the Twitter for the Brits, will post at least 100 posts per month for each station. Also at the BBC, the corporation is offering one apprenticeship for each local and regional station as part of a pledge by Tony Hall. Applications are now being taken online. See Radio Today for more details. And finally, a date for your diary. If you work in commercial radio especially, the nominations for the Archivers will be announced online on May the 8th with none other than Marvin Humes. That's the very latest for radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
UK-voiceover.com.
Audio production starting from £3.
UK-voiceover.com.
On Twitter at UK Voiceover. Radio
Moments. Let's begin looking back to this week in 1976. And a big hello to Beacon Radio from Wolverhampton with its playlist of 30 singles, 30 albums, 30 oldies and 30 breakers.
I'm the first voice you'll hear on Beacon Radio 303 when we start at 6 a.m. next Monday, April the 12th. And I host the breakfast programme.
Morning girl,
We run from 6 until 10 and we'll have regular time checks, traffic checks, as well as the Beacon 303 News As It Happens service. There's Morning Report at 7.45, bringing you the latest news and information with Nick Uchekin and Roger De Freitas. And there's Beacon's music. We'll be playing a selection from the Beacon singles, the Beacon breakers, the best of the Beacon albums, and the Beacon Super Gold. So if it's nice music you want in the morning, it must be Beacon 303, the Sunshine Sound. And don't forget those regular time checks. There'll be plenty of those too.
Happy birthday, Beacon, now one of the four free radio stations. And what was the big story in its first news bulletin 39 years ago?
The debate on the measure to make the wearing of seatbelts compulsory has been adjourned probably until next week in the Commons.
Ah, and what about the weather?
The risk of any rain should be over by 2 o'clock for all parts of the West Midlands. So, if you want to put your washing outdoors, the weatherman says, leave it until the afternoon.
On the air now, the new local radio station for the West Midlands.
Beacon Radio 303.
Remember,
303. The Sunshine Sound.
Congratulations, Beacon, the last in the first tranche of UK commercial stations, and its launch was delayed owing to investment challenges. The colourful pirate station RNI was no stranger to controversy and drama. This week, 44 years ago, its transmitters were jammed under the orders of the British government.
No free Western country has ever jammed a free broadcasting station, even in times of war. Radio North Sea trusts that the legal right we have to broadcast without interference to you will soon be restored. Radio North Sea International intends to remain on the air.
RNI, where the music is new.
Roger Day responding to the jamming of Radio North Sea this week in 1970. Now there's an idea for the next election. The government can jam 5 Live. Of all the launches I've ever heard, this is a poetic favourite, recaptured from this week in 1990.
Oh, great the master, sweet the music, coming over the valley in early spring, over the downs and through the trees, till all around me, moving to melody, floated the magic.
The launch of Isle of Wight Radio this week, 24 years ago. A little more peaceful than this week in 1993, when John Myers reflected on the launch stages of the new CFM.
Traumatic, to say the least, really. We've had to get presenters. We think we've got some great personality presenters. We've got our music right. We've got 40 years of hits. So it doesn't matter what age you are, you can tune in and enjoy the station. We've got great people here, and we've got some fantastic competitions as well.
John Myers and the opening steps for CFM in Carlisle. But pride of place this week has to be the landmark 30th anniversary for Viking.
It's Cool and the Gang and Celebration, and let me tell you, it's a real celebration here this morning. Good morning, this is David Fuster welcoming you to Viking Breakfast. It's my privilege and pleasure to be with you each morning between 7 and 10, and coming up in the next 30 minutes, we'll be looking at the latest travel and traffic news, playing our very first Viking competition, that's Treasure Trail. We'll also be keeping you in the know.
The first moments of Viking Radio this very week in 1984. Happy birthday. Happy birthday also this week to this chap.
I mean, I think Noel Edmonds was probably the most successful breakfast show presenter. Everybody remembers Tony Blackburn, but Noel was just enormous. He was so inventive and original. Of course, he didn't care about music very much, did he? That was one of the big differences. I remember John Peel being terribly upset that Noel didn't even own a record player.
The voice of Johnny Beerling, who's 77 this week. He was controller of BBC Radio 1 for 9 colourful years. Radio 1 had many jingles over the years, but I don't think any were produced by the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. Work of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop, which opened its doors this week in 1958. There was a new voice at breakfast this week 9 years ago on Heart London, or Heart 106.2 as they called it back then.
It's time for another Oscar-winning performance here on Heart Breakfast, and it's an Oscar-winning performance with a difference.
Jamie Thigston, who began his Heart Breakfast show in London this week in 2005. In his tenure, Heart beat Capital in the morning for the very first time. Meanwhile, this week, 28 years ago, the last breakfast foray for this voice.
Kind of cute, eh?
Mike Reed ending his stint on Breakfast at Radio 1 this week in 1986. So with Capital getting hold of Border TV and the Century stations this week 14 years ago, the first Help a London Child 38 years ago, and Helen Bowden becoming director of BBC Radio this week last year.
Generally, there's been a sense of warmth and welcome.
Those are this week's radio moments. One more thing to mention, though. There's nothing more to mention. Rather like this week in 1930, when the Good Friday News Bulletin on the BBC announced that nothing of note had really happened, and then played some gramophone music instead. Good night.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Thank you, David. Thanks also to Roy and to Jem Stone from BBC Radio and Music. Check his blog at gemstone.wordpress.com if you can. Thanks to all our sponsors. And one other thing before we go. Our sister podcast, I like to think of it, is short of a sister this week. The USA's Radio Stuff has lost Deb Slater. They asked me to send them a message. This is what I sent them. I thought you'd like to hear it. Let me just press this button marked Instant Deb Slater Substitute.
Hello. Welcome to the Radio Today program. I'm Trevor's new co-host. He's such a twat.
We'll see you next time. We will be back, and it might not be next week because we might take an Easter break, but stay, as they used to say, tuned. This has been a TDC production. I'm Trevor at trevordan.com. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.